she was pressed into service. Courtney's not feeling well. She would have been up here with her. So appreciate Kelly jumping in. Whoa! That was a bright light. No, I am not the Great Pumpkin. I've heard that enough this morning. I walk out of the closet and had this on. I looked over and Kim's got hers on. I'm just like, oh, we're going to be Twinkies today. So, anyways, again, great job at the Fall Festival, the Northwood Fall Festival last week. I thought we'd throw a little reminder up of that. The ladies had a mini conference Friday night into Saturday, and that went really well. I think percentage-wise, we had more women at ours than the other three campuses combined. And so, you know, a little competition there. Again, percentage-wise, they're a little larger than we are. And then today, Fall Sunday, it rained, but you're here. So awesome, way to go. Appreciate you guys being there. Make sure you take all the pumpkins. We don't need those here anymore. Make sure you eat all the hot dogs. We might even bring them. We should just bring them in during the message, right? We just have you guys eating away. Just boom, boom, boom. So, yeah, it's good. Appreciate that. Some people will be like, hey, I didn't even know any of this stuff is going on. Listen, we do the best that we can around here. If you notice, when you come in the building, there's two monitors. And on those monitors, every Sunday morning, there's pictures. And those pictures are actually graphics telling about what's going on at our church coming up. So take a moment, grab a coffee or some tea, stand there for about a minute, and you'll get connected with what's going on. We also do, I don't know if you noticed, there was music, and then you may not have noticed this, but there's a guy that today was Matt Thompson, and he came up. Did you see him? Did anybody see Matt Thompson today? All right, some of you did, some of you didn't. Good, okay. So anyways, Matt comes up and he shares what's going on and where you can find more information, like the Church Center app. You can find more information about that. And so we try to do a rest. Oh, we also do emails. I know some of you don't even know what email is anymore because you never open your emails. But we send out emails. And so you're like, well, I don't get any emails. Okay, well, just make sure that you haven't somehow unsubscribed. But if you don't get them, put your name on a card, put your email address on there. We'll make sure that you're on the list, and we'll make sure you're getting our emails. All right, so just, again, some people will be like, I can only say so much. We can lead people to water, but you have to drink. So I'm just, water. Just saying. Anyways, so that's a little introductory remarks. So I don't have to tell you guys, we've talked about this recently, that our world is in a mess, right? Our country is in a mess. We've got quite a bit of divide going on within our society and in politics, and families are a mess. Individuals' lives are a mess. We talked about why that was in our last series. How did we get here in the sense of how do we get into the mess that we're in? And so you can go back and listen to that to understand that. But what I want to do today and what we want to do over the next 3 or 4 weeks in this series called No Fear, we want to help you, because these things that are going on in our lives, some of them are real. You know, we have fear from those things. We're concerned about those things. We're not really sure what's going on and what's going to be left of our country in the next few years, and is democracy going to be gone, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then you get world events, and so people have a lot of fear. People also have a lot of fear that's kind of imagined. It's not necessarily something to be afraid of, but they are afraid of it. And so our goal with this series is to know fear. And if you notice, you can kind of tell there's K-N-O-W and there's also N-O. And so that we can fear God, and in doing that, fear less. So that's what we want to talk about over the next several weeks. And because there's only one way through our fear, and that's God's way, today what I want to do is I want to talk about God. All right? So we're not going to break through a passage of Scripture. We're going to actually use several different verses to get there. But what I want to do to start out this morning, to kind of get everybody in and, you know, excited about what we're talking about this morning, because I could tell you guys didn't have enough of that apple cider slushy out there before you came in. And that is, so you guys are just like, that was a joke. No? Anyways, the 8:30 now, I keep saying 9 o'clock, the 8:30, those guys were just roaring. They were laughing so hard. I'm going to do something that made me scared when I was in school. And that's a true false quiz. All right, I got scared of these things because I always talk too much. And I never did well on true false. So the first one is this. Because we're saying no fear, fear God, fear less. To fear God, don't answer out loud. Remember, it's always dangerous to answer out loud. Because if you get it wrong, then people are looking at you like, you got it wrong. All right. So just think about it. To fear God is to fear less. Now, if you know anything about the word fear, you realize that fear could have two meanings. It had two meanings in the Bible. It has two meanings for us today. And so one meaning for fear is that is just that, to be afraid, to be scared of something. And the Bible uses a bunch of different words for that. We're not going to put them all up on the screen, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But in the fear could also have this idea of awe, of respect or reverence for somebody who has more power than us. And obviously we're talking about God. So, for instance, in Psalm 111:10, so this is the Old Testament. This is written in Hebrew. And so in Hebrew, it says the fear, yirah, means reverence, respect toward a superior. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So having respect and awe for God, because he is God and we're not, is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of being able to take what God says in his Bible and his word and applying it to life. That's what the word wisdom means. In the New Testament, in the Greek, that's the word phobiomai, something like that. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, is quoting Psalms, all right, Psalm 103. And so when they translated from Hebrew to Greek, they used the Greek word, which also means the same thing. And it's in capital letters because it's an Old Testament verse that's being translated into the New Testament. She's not yelling at us. They didn't have texting back then. If you want to yell at somebody, you know, capitalize. She's not yelling at us. But she is saying, and his, or speaking of God's mercies upon generation after generation towards those who fear, those who respect or have awe or reverence for him. And so we go back to the statement, it's false if fear means being afraid of God. If a person doesn't know who God is, if a person doesn't really understand how God operates and why God's doing what he's doing, maybe they've learned some wrong information about who God is and what he's doing, that's obviously, you're not going to fear less, you're going to actually fear more. Because you're going to fear this God. Because you've heard about God being a God of judgment, which he is, but there's context. There's a God who's wiped out people. Did, but there's context. And so you could be afraid of him. But if we're talking about fear in a sense of respecting God, of having this awe and reverence for God, then I think the statement is true. To fear God, to respect God, to have this awe about who God is to then fear less. Because respect means that you trust. You don't respect somebody you don't trust, right? And so we respect, therefore we trust him. And because we trust him, we obey him. And as we obey him, we're doing what he wants us to do. And he's at work in that, and so there's less fear involved. Does that make sense? Are you tracking with where we're going with this? Okay, Caleb's giving me the thumbs up. And that's good. Love that. So because of that, it's a very short quiz, by the way, because they scare me. I'm going to give you one more true-false statement. It's this. You can't really trust someone you don't know. So true or false, you can't really trust someone that you don't know. Which I think is true. You can't trust somebody you don't know. But you can trust somebody you do know. So, and knowing somebody and having that trust built up takes time. It takes experience, experiencing life with them. I've been married to Kim for 33 years. She's the one who looks just like me. She's back there. Hello. Perfect timing there. We've known each other for 40 years. I knew her 7 years before we got married. But I trust Kim. I can't think any way that I do not trust Kim because I've known her for a long time. I've seen her operate in different situations. She's gone through a lot of different situations with me, our life circumstances with me, and we've had some humdingers of situations, and I've seen Kim operate, and so I trust her. It's the same thing with God. We must know God, know about Him, know things about Him, but then we also need to experience Him, and the way we do that is by obeying what He says about how we're supposed to do life. And as we do that, then we see Him work in our life. And so then we get to know Him more. And as we know Him more, we see Him working more. Now we trust Him more. And the more we trust Him, the less there's fear in our lives. So because of that, what I want to do is I want to give you some information this morning about who God is, what God is doing, and some promises that He gives us. I'm not going to be exhaustive in this. I'm just giving you those 3 points with a couple points below them. And so for you to kind of hopefully you'd be motivated to know God, trust God, and obey God. So the first reason we should trust and obey God is of who God is. Now, we talked about this in our previous series. Again, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, just to say this, that God is the creator, designer, creator, whichever word you want to put it in, but He's the one who has put all this together. It was perfect at one time, Adam and Eve sinned, so now it's what we have, full of sin, but God still put it together, and the laws that He established still work today. All right? And so, if we want to experience life that is the best for us, that is good for us, then we need to do life His way. The purpose of His commands, as we found out with Adam and Eve didn't, they knew everything except for one thing. They didn't understand what evil was. They didn't know it. They didn't experience evil. And so God gave them a command so that they would not experience evil. But they wanted to experience something because they thought that was special. And so then they disobeyed God. So God's laws are good. They're good for us, because He's trying to keep us from experiencing evil. So He's the designer, creator. So He knows that, and so we have to keep that in mind. And that's a good thing. It's an awesome thing to have Him be the creator. The second thing, and something that I think about a lot of times, and I tell God this all the time, not because He doesn't know, but because I got to remind myself of this, that He's sovereign. That's a big theological word. You can impress your friends and family with that one if you want. It's about a $25 word. But what it means is this. It's kind of a series of things. First of all, God is what we call omnipotent, which means all-powerful. Obviously, He created the materials that created the world, right? I mean, He did everything. He's all-powerful. He's also omniscient, which is a big word that just means He knows everything. And what I mean by that is this. He knows the choices that you and I will make. And He knows the ripple effects of those choices that we make. Of everybody, all at one time, of all history, He knows the choices we're going to make and the ripple effects of those choices, how they impact us, how they impact everybody else, all the way through our entire lives, as far out as that ripple is going to go. But here's the mind-blowing thing. He knows the choices we could have made and their ripple effects. So think about the number of choices you make in a day and how you could have gone in a different direction with that choice. And all those ripple effects, He knows that. He knows all of that. He's also omnipresent, which means He is everywhere at the same time, fully. The word fully is important there. Because it's not like a little bit of Him here and a little bit like He's spread out over, so He's not really sure what's happening all the way over there. No, He is everywhere at once, fully there. He's here. He's out at the hot dogs. I'm just reminding you, there's hot dogs after the service. We need those eaten. He wants you to take pumpkins home. I heard a word from the Lord. He wants you to take pumpkins. He's as much here as He is in D.C., as He is in Europe, as He is in Asia. He is everywhere at the same time, fully. He's sovereign. So, I don't know about you, that makes me feel really good. When I'm laying in bed at night and I got things coming to my mind and I'm concerned about stuff and I'm worried about stuff and I'm praying for people in our church, I know that God is as much as as much with me there as I'm laying there in bed praying about it as he is in your life as I'm praying for you. And so that's awesome. That's a huge encouragement. Again, I don't like how slow he operates. I don't like how he actually does things. I think I have a better idea of how that should happen. But besides all that, I know he's there. I know he's at work. And then the other thing I remind myself a lot about is the fact that he's good. And the King David of Israel, back in the Old Testament, wrote up a poem, Psalm. And he says this, "O taste and see." Now, that's a poetic way of saying, know through experience. Understand what God says, and then do it and experience him at work. That's the whole idea of tasting and seeing that the Lord, the self-existing, all-powerful, personal God, is good. He himself is good. He's beneficial. He's valuable. He can't do evil. Which, should, by the way, should just really go, whew. So whatever's evil in my life is not from him. He's not creating it. How blessed. That word means to have, it's really hard to explain this word blessed. But this is probably the best one I've seen. And that is having a joyful mind. In other words, not a fearful mind. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Why? Because you'll not have a fearful mind if you will do that. Fearful is the man, and that word means women too, so don't think the women are out of this. How blessed is the person who takes refuge. Refuge has this idea of you hide in that person. How do we hide in God? We hide in God by doing what he tells us to do. Right? So he's the man who trusts him. So he's good in character. Evil in him. There's no reason we shouldn't trust him because everything he does comes from who he is, and for who he is that he's good. And not only is he good, like I said, everything that comes from him is good, which means his commands are good. Look what Deuteronomy 6 says. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, which is just another word for commands. To fear, there's the reverence, respect. Fear the Lord, Yahweh, our God, for our good. For what? Our wellness, our success. Not financial success necessarily. Not, you know, success health-wise necessarily. Spiritual success. Accomplishing what he's called us to do. Always and for our survival as it is today. And so we show our fear and our respect, our trust of him by obeying his commands. That's how we do it. Which makes perfect sense, right? I mean, if you trust somebody, you respect somebody, you wouldn't not obey them, right? That would be not trusting them, right? Not respecting them. Sin is disrespecting God, is another way of putting it. It's breaking his commands, but it's disrespecting him. So through obedience, we experience the good that he has for us. Why? Because he's good. And he gives good things. And doing what he says protects us from evil. Protects us from feeling the pain, the fear that we have. So there's no need to be afraid. Because God is good. And if we obey him, what's going to come from that is good. Which we'll talk about here in a little bit. So we could end right there. We're not going to. I worked hard on this. We're going to be here for 2 or 3 hours. So that's all I'm saying. The second reason why we should fear and trust God is because of his plan. In other words, what is God doing? I think this is a huge thing. Because I don't think people really understand what is it that God's doing. You know, Lord, look at this world. What are you doing? Right? And so you need to understand what he's doing. Again, last series, you can go back to that. But in Isaiah 43:7, we're not going to look at it. You have to go back and listen to the message to find out. It was week one. Isaiah 43:7 says that God created human beings for his glory. And so if nothing else, understand that God's trying and has already revealed himself to us. He wants you and me to know him and to know him personally. So he creates mankind, you and me, with personhood, intellect, emotion, and free will, so that we could have that relationship with him, that we could choose to have that relationship, that we could talk with him, and we can hear from him. We do that through God's word. But he's done it through creation. Romans 1 tells us that's the first step. Second is the Bible. Third, God the Son, God himself becomes flesh, Jesus. So we read about him in the Bible. You want to know who God is? The Bible says to look at Jesus, because Jesus is God and how he operates. And then through our life circumstances. Again, we read the Bible. We find out what God says about how we should operate in this area and that area and all kinds of areas of our lives, those that we are afraid of. And then we do that, and we see him at work in that, in us and in the situations. He's not creating our fear. That fear comes from us. Again, he's good. He's not going to create fear. But because he's good, he's going to use that fear to his advantage, to your advantage, to my advantage. Well, what advantage is that? Well, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and there's fear in your life, we're not praying and asking God for strength and going to other believers for advice, and we're not doing the things that we need to do to see that fear lessen. We're not going to ever be perfect. We're always going to have fear, because what does that do? Brings us back to God. See, spiritual maturity is full dependence on God, more and more and more and more. The day that I die, I hope that I'm more dependent on God then than I am now. Human maturity is independence from our parents. To become more mature as a human being, you want to move further and further from your parents' protection and provision. Spiritual, completely at the opposite. You're moving closer and closer to your Father, your Heavenly Father. And so for believers, that's what we need to be. If you're here this morning, you're an unbeliever. By that, I just mean you've never given your life to Christ. You've never asked God to forgive you of your sin and believe and trust that he said that Jesus, when he died on the cross, he did that for you, to take your judgment so you wouldn't have to, the judgment of hell. And you've never had the conversation where you've asked God to forgive you of your sins and you've told him, I'm trusting that Jesus died on the cross. For you, he's using that so that you will turn to him, because he wants you to make that decision. He's not going to force you. You can sit in the fear, and you can sit in the frustration, and you can continue making the choices that you want to make, and your life can continue going. He's not going to force you. But by the way, he's also not going to force you to spend eternity with him either. And so, but he's there, and he wants to get your attention, so he's going to allow that tension, that pressure, to hopefully get you to turn to him so you can ask him to forgive you of your sin, and he can forgive you and save you from sin and hell, put God the Holy Spirit in your life, and provide and protect for you here, as well as eternity. In other words, God didn't allow you to be born for you to go through life by yourself. God created you to be born to know him, to experience a relationship with your designer and your creator, to let him be your provider and protector in this life, and to be your savior and take you to heaven one day. And that goes along with the next thing, the second thing about his plan, and that he's working his eternal plan. 1 Timothy says this, and he's talking about the praying for people to come to faith in Jesus, which he talked about earlier in the verses. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our savior from sin and hell, who desires all men to be saved, and by all men, all people, to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is not a decree. God's not saying everyone goes to heaven. He's not saying that. This is what he desires to have. He'd like to see happen. This is not a decreed will. This is what he's hoping would happen. His desire is for that all people will come to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He goes on, for there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, God and people, and the man, Christ Jesus. So it's not your parents. If your parents are God-honoring people or religious people, that none of that matters for you. It's a personal relationship between you and God. It's not your priest. Your priest has nothing to do with you having a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not me. I'm here for you to help you with that, to grow in that, but I got nothing. I have my salvation that God made for me through faith in Christ, and you're going to have yours, right? Why is it Jesus Christ? Well, who gave himself as a ransom. He paid the price for all of us. The testimony given the proper time. And so his plan is to reveal himself, and in revealing himself for us to turn to him. He wants his creation to worship him, to know him, to be in relationship with him. I mean, how do you fear a God like that? How do you have, but how do we not trust a God who would die for us? Man, can't we trust that kind of God? What other God, what other religious worshiping thing that other religions have come up with? I mean, there is only one God, that's the God of the Bible, but other people have tried to create other religions with other kinds of gods. No God. That's the unbelievable thing about Christianity. It's the only God who died for his followers. Man, if he did that, we can trust him with whatever it is that we fear. And the last thing I want to look at, the fact that we should be able to fear him or trust and obey him, is because of promises that he's made. The first one is that he's promised to always be with believers. So if you place your faith in Christ, God will always be with you. Jesus said it in Matthew. This is familiar with many of us. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm only reading it fast because we're going to move past that real quick. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'll slow down. Jesus saying, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This time on earth, and then into eternity. But then the question is, wait, he went back to heaven. So he promised something, he's gone. What's up with that? Next verse. In him, Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, that salvation from sin and hell is through faith in Jesus Christ, having also believed that, you've put your full weight of trust on that, you were sealed in him, speaking of Jesus, with God the Holy Spirit of promise. Whose promise? Jesus made that promise, didn't he? John 16, he made the promise, I'm going to send the helper. John 14 and 16, I'm going to send the helper, who is given as a pledge, a guarantee of our inheritance. It's talking about heaven, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. And so God is always with believers. And so believers, you who have placed your faith in Christ, God is with you 24/7, 365, fully with you, as he is fully with every other believer. He can do that because he's God. He's always with you. God the Holy Spirit has been given to you. And if you're an unbeliever, that's the offer God has for you. He wants you to let him forgive you of your sins, and then you give him your life, and then he will be with you 24/7, 365, through this life, through all the circumstances, all the situations you're going to face, giving you direction and commands and guidance and wisdom. And then when you die, you get to go to heaven with him. One of the reasons why he's always with us is because he's promised to empower us. We get that from Romans 8:11. It says this. Huh? Magic snaps. Says, I need a hot dog. But if, or since, the Spirit of him, God the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, believer, and he does, right? He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, that's some good power. That would be probably infinite power. Will also give life, spiritual power, to your mortal bodies, to this, right? He's going to empower us to obey through his Spirit who dwells in you. So again, believer, there's no fear. Even when he asks us to do things that we are fearful of doing, we're not really sure, should I do that? Are hard. And if he only knew, I always throw back to marriage. God tells the husband, sacrifice for your wife. It tells the wife, respect your husband and follow his lead. That is hard. Wow. But he says to do that despite what your spouse is doing is actually do that even if your wife or husband are not doing it. Especially when they're not doing it. Do. That, and that's just marriage. Then there's kids and parents and work, and bosses and employees and neighbors. And it's hard. But man, he gives you the power to do it if you just do what he says to do. An unbeliever, a person who has not yet placed their faith in Christ, he's offering that to you. You're like, I can't do what God wants me to do in my life. Right, you can't. He's got to do it in and through you. But you got to know him first. You got to be in relationship with him first. And then here's the, I mentioned this earlier, here's this incredible promise in that he's going to work our fear, our life circumstances. He's going to work it out for good. It's a pretty great promise. It says this, and we know that God, again, because he's sovereign and he's good, causes all things to work together for good to those, there's a condition here, to those who love God. To those who say, oh, I'm doing life my way here, that's why life's a mess, I'm going to love God and not love myself. Doing this is loving me. Changing and doing this is loving God. So that's step one. You have to do it God's way. He keeps coming back to that, by the way. And those who are called according to his purpose. What's his purpose? Next verse. For those whom he foreknew, those who he selected in advance for salvation, sin and hell, he also predestined, so he decided beforehand, that after salvation, they would become conformed to the image of his son. What God's trying to do is he's trying to, those of us who have placed our faith in Christ, he's trying to have us and work in us so we become more like Jesus. We don't need any more of us. We mess things up. We want to be more like Jesus. We want to think the way Jesus thought. We want to operate like the way Jesus operated. Why? When he was on earth, he didn't do anything unless God told him to do it. That he stated that in John, the Gospel of John. And so that's what we need to be doing as his followers, following him, doing the same thing. And he says, you do that, I'm going to work that out for good. So believers, whatever's going on in your life, it's good, bad, scary, whatever. If we respond to that situation in obedience to God because we love him more than ourselves and because we want to become more like Jesus or look more like Jesus, respond more like Jesus to others in our life, then God's going to make sure that works out for good. He's going to empower us to do it. He's going to make sure that that works out for good. It's not necessarily going to, you know, be over in 30 minutes like our sitcoms. It's not going to be over in a podcast, you know, an hour, 2 hour podcast, whatever it is that we listen to. It's not going to be over in an hour like a drama or a movie like an hour, 2 hour movie. It may take longer, but that's okay. We still stay on track. We still keep doing it because God's at work and God's working it out for good. Even when it's hard, even when we feel like we're suffering. How do I know that? Well, look what Paul says in Romans 5. I was going to go to James chapter 1, but some of you guys would be like, oh, I know that verse, and then you would have checked out. You might not know this one, so I threw this one up there. And not only this, so what's this? Well, having a certainty of heaven through faith in Jesus, but we also exalt in our tribulations, in our trouble, our distress, our oppression, our fear, knowing that tribulation, trouble, distress, fear, brings about what? Perseverance. To bear up under difficulty. And then perseverance, when we keep doing that, we keep working at it, God keeps empowering us, a follower of Jesus Christ. And then a proven character, amen, I don't have things memorized. Hope, right? Go back one, make sure I got it right. Thank you. And proven character, hope. Hope is not, oh, I hope it happens. No, hope is a certain expectation. That's what that word means. A certain expectation that God's going to follow through with his promises. Notice how far along in this process that is. It takes time and staying with it. Now you can go to the next one. And hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. He's there, who was given to us to be with us. You know, few people like the pain of going through physical exercise. Back in the day, I loved it. I loved going through physical exercise. I used to do a lot of weightlifting and a lot of cardio stuff. It was just my way of escape, and I did a lot of it. I know I don't look like it now. You don't need to tell me. No, I'm not a pumpkin. Anyways. And as long as I did that exercising right, it would be beneficial for me. All that pain would be beneficial. I was healthier. Sometimes I did it wrong, and I actually injured myself. So you got to do it right. Now, I don't really like that pain anymore. You can tell. I get it. I'm just saying, I don't enjoy the pain as much anymore. And so I have a hard time wanting to do physical exercise. I changed brakes on Kim's truck front and back yesterday. And I'm sitting on a concrete floor. I could barely move last night when I got done. That's enough exercise for me. I carried the water jug over for Martha this morning, and that was it for my workout. I'm done. But few people really enjoy the emotional, spiritual, mental suffering either. We don't like that. It's pain. Why would we want to go through that pain? Why would we do that to ourselves? We don't like it. Let's get out of it. Let's do whatever it takes to get this pain, this fear, any whatever you want to call it, away. But those who go through it correctly, those who go through it the way God says to do it, what happens? Spiritual growth, spiritual strength, which then permeates through emotional strength, mental strength, the ability to hang in or to do what God calls us to do, to not have fear, to fear less. So as the band comes up, which I'm shocked them at the 8:30, I actually called them up, but as the band comes up, we're going to close today with a song. I want to leave you with the words of Jesus Christ. And he says this, "These things I have spoken to you so that you may have peace, so that you may not fear." Another way of putting it. In the world, you have tribulation. Listen, we're going to have stress. We're going to have oppression. We're going to have fear in our life. But take courage. In other words, don't be afraid. I have overcome the world. So what's our takeaways? Well, this morning, if you're here this morning and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then that's your first step. You need to be in relationship with God. You need to have God in your life, the Holy Spirit in your life, for these things that God has promised to be true and active. And so I want to challenge you this morning, if you have not placed your faith in Christ, that you do that this morning. That you take a moment, you can close your eyes, and just have a conversation with God. Your heart to His. Don't just say it out loud. Just you, your heart to God's heart. Saying, God, I know I've sinned against you. And I'm living in fear of a bunch of stuff. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And I believe that Jesus died on a cross to take my judgment for sin. I'm trusting sin. Thank you. Thank you for giving me God the Holy Spirit. And if you pray that prayer, understand the Bible says your sins will be forgiven. God the Holy Spirit will be given to you. You are adopted into God's family. You're now His child. And all these promises become reality. And so if you prayed that prayer, I would love to know about it. I'll be out in the lobby. You can come out, even during the songs, come out and catch me. Can't miss me. Or put it on a Connect card. Write your name down on the Connect card. You can put your information on there if you want me to send you some information on how to have that relationship grow and establish. Secondly, if for those of us who have made that decision, your fear and my fear is directly related to our trust in God. So you can't trust someone you don't know. You have to be in God's Word. You have to be. You can't say, I love God, I know God, and not be in His Word. It's just impossible. It's illogical. You got to be in His Word. You got to be in prayer. Being here is so important. Sundays and Wednesdays, or young adults, if you're a young adult, or Fuse tonight, 5 o'clock. If you're Fuse, you need to be here learning more. And then apply the commands. Let Him empower you. Take that scary step of faith and watch Him work. And you will know Him, and you will trust Him, and you will experience with the song.